I was talking about my exhortation last night to Jennifer and Samantha, and I mentioned I would talk about her, and I don't think she believed me. Well, I am going to begin and talk about her. She's going away to school up to Seattle, and I didn't think I would tear up, but that's not the purpose. I don't want to cry, but anyways, that's not the subject of this exhortation. But anyways, we've been talking about her as a child. Oh, yeah, thank you. Some little tissues here, just in case. And we talk about, you know, her as a baby and things she's done and she likes and what she doesn't like. Her hobbies, and, all right. Sorry. That's not the subject of this exhortation, but anyways, maybe I should show someone else. Anyways, you know, she started as a baby and grew up, and, you know, we've been talking about this, because as she leaves, we want to, you know, do something for her, but. And she loves CYC, and she's gone to Sunday school and conferences, and she's baptized. And so why am I bringing her up? Not to get upset or anything, but I think she's a good parallel for what I want to talk about, which is about an exhortation about children and about growing up. And the relationship that we have with God as children. And, you know, all of us are born children. Even though we grow up, you know, we still have this relationship of a father in God. No matter how old we are and how wise we are, you know, we're all children of God. And that's the subject today, is that we are children to God, and God wants to protect us. And so this relationship of a child looking to God, and that's what God expects. He always wants to have that characteristic of the child that wants to need God. And so the ecclesia also needs children. And, you know, the ecclesia with children, without children, you know, it's going to, you know, where is it going to go? It's eventually just going to die off. So children to an ecclesia is also very important. So this aspect of children are an important part of things. And Sunday school, which is coming up next week. You know, Sunday school is another very important part of ecclesial life. And it's a place that we preach to our children. We tell them about God and this relationship of God with his children. And we help the children to grow, and we help them learn godly ways and how to make godly decisions, and teach them about faith and how they may have faith in their own lives. So characteristics of children are used many times by Christ. He uses it, their important qualities of this innocence of being children. Things like humility and simplicity of a child, and the obedience and trust a child gives. And these are the qualities that Christ tells the apostles that they must have to have before they enter the kingdom. And it's only with an attitude like a child that we can enter into the kingdom, Christ says. And we'll get to that later. But we also must realize that we must be like children. That's what we're asked, but we're not to act like children. Not all actions of a child are desirable. I can attest to that, even in Samantha. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and 20, it says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." So to be like children in understanding is to act with an immature mind. So, but as we grow older, some things we do put away. So we do have to eventually become, men and women of the word and be mature. It's reaching this goal. In the past year or so, if you have the tidings, Brother Jim Harper has written several articles about Sunday school. The joy of Sunday schooling, most of the titles are. Talks about activities that our students we can use to help our students learn, and what are the goals of Sunday school. And there's even an article by our sister Sandy McLeod about VBS and how it's a great example of how to preach to children and how also we preach to the kids in our community. So I believe everyone agrees that the importance of children in our lives and the upbringing of children. And the Bible is full of examples of teaching children, stories about couples wanting children and waiting for children. And the Bible says that the children are a blessing. And it's our responsibility to raise them to know about God and love Him. And children are important in the Bible because, we are all children of God. And God loves us and He teaches us. He looks after us because we are His children. And just because we have grown into adults doesn't mean that we just do what we want to do. We can still learn and we can still need the grace of God. And so Sunday school is a way for us to preach to our children in our lives, is sharing of God's message of salvation with the children. And the Sunday school teachers are the preachers of the gospel to them, and we have to instill into the kids, godly thinking through readings and lessons of spirituality, loving God, and what it is to have faith and prayer. And what's also important is, examples. As adults, we come to Sunday school. So adult class is important for the kids to see that, even as adults, we continue to learn. And it's the message that we give to the children that learning the ways of God is a lifelong process. So Sunday school can teach about the importance of faith, how faith works, how faith moves people to do godly things. And we read about that in Hebrews 11, how these people in Hebrews 11 couldn't do without it, to do their things that they did do. And also in Hebrews 11 talks about how faith kept them from doing things that were evil, that they shouldn't have been doing. So our children need to begin to find their way through life with faith. And Sunday school provides some wonderful opportunities for us to help them with that. And as adults, we need the discipline to make good decisions. But what about our children? I mean, that's another important thing, how to teach the children to make good decisions. And that's the advantage of the Sunday school, times to teach the children how to make good decisions in their own life, make godly decisions. There's the stories of the prodigal son and Joseph that we can use. But children have, desirable qualities. They have this humility to themselves, the naturalness, a simplicity. They have the ability to forgive and forget. They have a guilelessness, lessness about them. They're obedient and they're trustful. There's a great verse about humility in Matthew 18, which we'll get to, but we'll read verse 4 of Matthew 18. I want to talk about the first couple of verses of Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So childlike humility, not hypocritical or ceremonial self-abasement, but a free and natural recognition of their inferiority. And so it's the simplicity of a child that is a unique quality that we need to, you know, maintain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, says, "For our rejoicing in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word." A child's life is much simpler than it is for an adult. But this is their advantage. The word simplicity exudes this idea of a peace within themselves to, just have a simple life. You compare a child to the life of Job or the life of Solomon, the amount of work that they had to do in their own lives. You know, and it turned out in the end that Job came back to the simplicity, that it's simple faith that's important. And Solomon, when he was pondering his complex life, he comes to the end, and it's the childlike simplicity. His final thing is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So Paul also writes to us, "This malice be ye children, in malice be ye children." Malice is an ill will. It's a spiteful, a deep-seated bitterness with those that delight in the misery of others. But children don't necessarily, have this type of malice that, adults grow into. And as they grow up, they want to overpower people and control other people. But Paul is saying, be gentle. And Peter also puts it perfectly in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And so it's these many touching and beautiful references to children and babies in the scriptures. And one of the most important one, I think, is, Matthew chapter 18 in the first few verses here. We are asked by our Lord and Savior to be like children. There are characteristics that Christ is trying to teach us about that we should model after. And it is an important lesson for us, brothers and sisters, to walk in our walk to the kingdom. When Christ came and he was teaching the truth to the world, he came into an overly confident world where the Pharisees and Sadducees were overpowering and putting people down and just weren't interested in learning. In Proverbs 1, we're taught, no matter how much we know, we must always be ready to be taught. Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and its instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And so the world we live in and the world that the disciples lived in at the time, they have and we have, a propensity to praise themselves, praise ourselves, to show how knowledgeable we are. In Psalm 49:16, it talks about the rich and the splendor of the houses, but they're not going to take any of this when they die. And also they may count themselves blessed. In verse 18 of Psalm 49 says, "But people praise you when you prosper." So you're not going to take this when you die. This praise of others that others give you, you're not going to take that. These verses show there's a lot of things that will not be valuable in the kingdom age. And especially this thinking of the disciples in Matthew 18, verse 1. And it reads, at the same time came the disciples when Jesus is saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's this thinking of the disciples to, they're racing as we get older as adults, we have this competition. And I think the disciples are showing the same thing. They're trying to be the greatest. They're trying to overpower. They're trying to, make a name for themselves. And this is the wrong thinking. This is not the childlike thinking. Because we read in verse 2, it says, well, this is what Christ does. Jesus calls a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. So here are the disciples all asking Christ, which of us is the greatest? What are we going to do in the kingdom? They're excited. They're seeing the power that Christ has and the things he's doing. But what does he do? He takes a child and sets him in the midst. And we already had before in Mark 10 where the disciples don't respect the children. They were holding off children from coming to Christ, and Christ got angry at that. Christ sees the importance of children and didn't appreciate them holding them back. And so here he brings a child, and this is a lesson for them. They probably thought, why is he bringing a child amongst us and, using this child as an example? And Christ continues in verse 3, he says, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, his answer to the disciples, proud and very adult idea of who's going to be the best, Christ says, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. Where the disciples were thinking it was a foregone conclusion they're even going to make it into the kingdom, Christ says, you may not make it. You may not make it into the kingdom if you do not have this childlike attitude. And so the world tells us, adults only. As you get older, there's so many things the adults can do. But what does Christ say? He says, well, no one but children is for the kingdom. Who's going to be allowed in the kingdom? It's not adults only for the kingdom. It's children only. In Luke 18, verse 17, it says the same thing. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So Christ doesn't say adults only, he says no one but children. It's those same characteristic, or the same happened in Deuteronomy 1, where the children were the ones that were allowed into the kingdom of Israel, the Israel, land of Israel, and those others that had childlike characteristics. And this is the main lesson, I think, for us brothers and sisters. We have a role to be teachers to our children at home in Sunday school, but it's also important for us not to lose the childlike openness to God's help and grace. We're never too wise to learn ourselves as we get older. And so this relates also to us, being baptized in a memorial service. And just like children, we do grow up. And we put away childish things. We move from the milk to the meat. We initially talked about the importance of, the Sunday school to the ecclesia and how we must teach the children about the gospel. But we are asked to approach the kingdom with a humility, a simplicity, this trustfulness, this guileless attitude a child has. But we're not asked to do childish things. Our relationship to God as children, is shaping their characters. So there's some things as a child, we must pay attention to, but there's some of things that children do that are not, that we're not to have. You know, so literal childhood has a limited period for us. You know, we do get older. You know, we're not physically children, obviously, when we get older. But if we rely on ourselves and our knowledge and our ability, if we just rely on ourselves, we lose this strong incentive to resist temptation. You know, we are thinking we know what's best for ourselves. So we need to always seek out God's care and his guardianship as we get older. So what will we become after we are physically not children anymore? This is what the Apostle Paul recommends in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. He says, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." And childish things are things like, you know, desire to play with toys, petty quarrels, fussing over minor things, silly talking, daydreaming, lack of self-control that sometimes kids have, and other childish things. You know, as we grow older, we're expected to act like adults. But the innocent qualities of a child are expected to be there. But it's the activities of children that we're expected to grow out of. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, in understanding be men." So let us not forget we are children of God, even though we have to put away childish things. And we read in 1 Peter 2, 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as a newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby." And also remember in Matthew 18, it says, "You know, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so hopefully we all can reflect on this idea of children in our own walk. Sunday school, the importance of it, of our children and the preaching to them and them learning and our family. And Sunday school should be thought of as one of our biggest ongoing preaching programs we have. You know, Sunday school is a hyper-priority for all of us. But children are a model for us also. If you're not like a child, you know, we will not enter the kingdom. But just like children, we do grow. We do put away childish things. But we always are still the children of God. And even though you go off to college, we still remember them as children. And in Isaiah 11, verse 6, says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them." We all have the hope of the coming kingdom of God. There will be a time there with peace and safety. There's no more will be those that will harm those that are weak. There will no longer be the bullies that control other people, the proud, and those that seek power and praise for their own accomplishments in the kingdom. We must realize we are all saved by the grace of God, and we're all led by the grace of God. Like these children and infants, when Christ revealed great things with his gospel, they shouted out his praise in Psalm 8 and 2. We can't be headstrong. We need to be little children. When the kingdom comes, just as Christ told his disciples in Matthew 18, how they will need to be. If we aren't, then we will not enter into the kingdom, where our Savior, who we remember now, will be waiting for us.